Hi, this is your friendly neighborhood audio editor, Essay, popping in to say we had a little bit of a technical malfunction on this episode, so it's going to start off sounding good, and then my track in particular is going to get pretty rough until about the 40-minute mark, and then we'll return to being good. I ended up having to pull from a backup, which is why you always record with redundancy. I hope you enjoy the show. Have a good day.
Three of Hearts is a podcast of queer joy and silly laughs coupled with sad people and grave danger. Content warnings can be found in the episode description. Previously on Three of Hearts. Spark talked with his family about the implications of his mother being the avatar of the goddess Thanatera, while Vellum spoke with Ishbala about Governor Thorne's threats against Suits. The agents met up after arriving in Clovenheart and leaned on one another after a very long day. They shared an intimate moment as they participated in an offering to the goddesses of death after having killed Veracity. Things only got more intimate as the agents retired, together, to bed. Tell me about Spar's dream set in Clovenheart.
And do you have any guidelines or just a dream set in Clovenheart?
Nope. I will interrupt when it's time for me to interrupt.
All right. Spar, you know how dream logic works, where two things can both be true, that it doesn't make sense really. So Spar is both mm-hmm. seven, but also full grown mm-hmm. and is playing a game with Merafina, that's like they're kicking like a soccer ball back and forth. And every time he kicks it like back to her, she always gets it. And then when she kicks it to him, he misses it most of the time. And Vellum is the referee. He's sitting in like a tall chair like lifeguards have, wearing referee clothes, like as if he's refereeing a wrestling match. And he is keeping score, and the number goes up by sixes.
No. That's wonderful. I love it. So in the middle of the game, just as you're about to actually like hit the ball, Spar like seizes and the ball hits him.
Relatable.
And he hits the ground and he is consumed by a golden light. And that golden light becomes like a thread that like reaches up into the sky. And the ground cracks all around you. All over Clovenheart, actually, which you don't see all of it, but you know because of dreams
mm-hmm.
that this is happening all over. And threads of light start shooting out of the ground, and you can feel like a fear in the light, like they're trying to escape something.
Mm-hmm.
From the ground, just like it's like countless like fountains of like playing cards start like shooting out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these glossy purple backs, and they look just like the ones that you now know to be Providence and Pandemonium.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are just like hitting the ground, nothing's happening, but a lot of them are taking shape into these like purple tendrils, and they're reaching out of the ground and they're grabbing the threads that are trying to escape and pulling them back under the ground, but none of them bother the one that is around Spar. But you can do nothing but watch helplessly as these golden threads of light are pulled underground. And you hear them crying out for your help. And they sound just like Terra Felspar.
So, yeah, that's what we hear. Spar, what is waking up from that dream like?
Hang on 1 second.
Okay.
Have we seen any goddesses that have golden light, or is that sort of just representative of magic in Bicycle?
Seems to be based on the context of your dreams, like that's the case.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, in dreams, sometimes you know things that are not literal. So I'm just going to say, yeah, you know that. It's representative of magic.
Okay. And not, like, representative specifically of Thaumatera, but...
Right, because Thaumatera is usually pink. Yeah, clearly related. That may have been a slight oopsie on Jordan's part at some point, but that's okay.
What time is the dream happening? Like, what time would Spar be waking up?
I'm going to say you're well rested, which means it's like 11 a.m. at this point.
Interesting conception of well rested, but okay.
What?
Well, because we went to sleep at a little past dawn.
Oh, you're right. So, okay, it's like 2 p.m. at this point.
Okay. So I think what happens is Spar jerks awake and flings himself fully out of bed, just like throws all limbs over, grabs the closest pair of pants, which are probably his because Vellum probably folded his pants and put them away.
Mm-hmm.
And is, like, yanking them on as he's sprinting out of the room to find Sorrel.
Oh.
Fascinating.
I think, I want to flip and see if Vellum is awake at this moment before all of this happens.
Mm-hmm.
What should I flip for awakeness, Jordan?
I have an important question before that. How not clothed were y'all in bed?
I think zero. Zero clothed in bed.
Okay. All right.
Or at least Spar would be. I don't want to speak for Vellum. I don't know how he sleeps.
Depending on how he's feeling, I think Vellum is usually clothed in bed. He may have gone topless last night, I think, but I think he'd still have something on.
Okay. I think that being awake, like, is wit survival for, like, hearing, okay, like, catching on to movement in your sleep.
Well, I think the question is, was Vellum awake before Spar yes. threw himself at the ground, or did that wake Vellum up?
Yes, that was the question.
Oh.
So would you want that, Ela, do you want that to be a flip-flip, or do you want it to be like a luck flip?
Like a luck flip, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, so flip, and red is you're awake.
It's red. It's 10 of hearts.
Okay, you're awake. You were awake a few minutes before, like, still, like, figuring out consciousness for the day when, especially after the fucking long ass day you had, you know, when Spar just sprints out of the room and pulls on his pants.
Vellum was planning the quantity and flavors of beverages he was going to procure for Felspar. And then all of a sudden,
you know, it's not too late.
Then all of a sudden Spar flings himself out of bed and Vellum jolts up and is like, "What? What happened? Spar? Spar say anything, or he's just out of there?"
He's out of there. He okay. will, if Vellum follows, he'll explain. It's not like a, you can't know. It's an mm-hmm. emergency. Is my sister having the same dream? Does this mean we need to save Mom this second? Because, like, if he and Sorrel are having the same dream at the same time, that means something a little different from Spar's general weird god extremes.
Okay. I think Vellum stumbles out of bed and grabs his cane. Probably doesn't take the time to throw a shirt on because Spar just ran out of the room. So, yeah, he'll follow.
All right. Okay, Spar, you head out and find the Felspar, Kasei Felspar, like, fairly awake, despite everything. Are you going to, like, Sorrel's room?
That would be the first stop, yeah. Because in Spar's asleep state, he's like, "Oh yes, it must be sleeping time." So first stop is Sorrel's bedroom.
I'm gonna say that you have to pass through the living room to get there, just so I can reveal that brunch is underway, but not with everybody. Lunavella, Brunhilde, and Mayor Governor Thorne are at the breakfast table enjoying some, or the dinner table enjoying some brunch.
God damn it.
Spar, you go into the other half of the house where they all wave to you and say good morning as you like bolt by. So Sorrel's bedroom is actually like a too small for access for Spar situation. But I imagine there is like a door on the floor, and then there's like kind of like a like a chest height door that's which someone could like open. Which because someone could like knock on and like peer in, you know what I mean, without having to crawl on the floor.
Yeah, I'm envisioning a kind of cat condo sort of.
Yeah.
Situation where you where like Sorrel probably uses the bottom door, but if she wanted, she could use the top door.
Yeah.
I was picturing like underground when he said door on the floor, like a door.
No,
on the floor that would open up. I was very confused.
Sorry. Just the way every door is on the floor, I guess, technically, but it's not very tall. I actually had a thought that, like, probably most doors in this world have, like, the main door and then almost, like, a doggy door situation. Like, a smaller door, so that for pixie access.
Different size doors within the same frame.
Yeah. This is not like this, because this is built primarily for pixies in mind. Anyway, so you open or knock on the door?
I think Spar throws himself onto the floor to the like kid the like the floor door because he's also very much in like family like kid feelings.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah.
And I think when he was little, when he and Sorrel were little, he used to like lay on his tummy on the floor and talk to Sorrel through that door rather than through the grown up door. And so his instinct for, like, need big sister, like, weird family stuff, especially since he hasn't spent time in this house as a grown-up, really.
Yeah.
You know, the last time he was here for any significant length of time, he was a child. So he throws himself on the floor and then knocks urgently at Sorrel's door.
Okay. You hear, like, just a second.
What does Vellum do with the brunch squad?
Oh, yeah. Villain, you pass by and you see these people at the table.
Do they say anything to him?
Yeah, Mayor Thorne is like, Mr. Villain, welcome back to town. Glad to see you're okay.
Hi, yes. It's great to be back. Hold that thought, and he goes after Spar.
Brunhilde calls, there's tea! And coffee.
Sounds great.
Okay. Sorrel opens the door. She's in, like, a robe. Since she went to bed after you, this is, like, her just, like, kind of waking up also.
Mm-hmm.
She says, well, she went to bed after you. I don't know about sleep. And she says, hey, Spar, are you okay? Is the house on fire?
No.
She sniffs the air.
Were you dreaming just now?
Actually, yeah.
What was your dream? Were you playing soccer with Merafina?
No, but I do have that one sometimes.
Yeah. I haven't in years.
Vellum, I also have that one sometimes.
So I was like, oh, you're here too. Hi, Vellum.
Hey.
And she says...
Vellum finally catches up.
Mm-hmm. And she says, my dream was actually about a box. And it's like a box underground?
Oh, dear.
There was like blue stone near it. And there was like something banging from within the box.
Great.
Spar holds his hand out for Sorrel to step onto if she wants to.
Sure, she does.
He sits up a little bit and then like lets her stand on his knees and looks up at Vellum. Just while I'm taking a census, did you have any weird Godex related dreams just now? Or just the Merafina thing, which is way more common, I guess.
I don't know. Did Vellum have a weird dream too? Hold on. I'm flipping a card. Let me think about
it. Flip that card.
Black is a weird dream. Red is no weird dream.
Okay.
No weird dream for Vellum.
Okay. No, just the Merafina soccer dream.
Okay, that is weird though, because I also had that dream.
If you go to like dreammeaning.com and you type in playing soccer with Merafina, it just says you're normal. Like, that's the most normal dream there is.
Should I go or?
No, stay. Okay. Question for Jordan. Do we have any connection to blue? I can't think of anything that's blue so far.
No, this is new.
Okay.
Purple is Pandemonium and Providence, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorrel says, the dream was so, I felt like I was in the box, like I was claustrophobic, but I was also observing it from the outside. But only like I was standing next to it and kind of like looking at it in a corner, so I didn't really get a sense of where I was.
Did you feel like maybe you were mom?
That's so weird to say, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Spar looks down and realizes he is definitely not wearing a shirt.
Mm-hmm. He looks up and realizes Vellum is also definitely not wearing a shirt.
Sorrel looks between you two and looks at Spar but doesn't say anything.
But she's thinking something.
Most restraint she's ever had in her life.
Spar gives her a look that clearly means don't you fucking say it.
Hold on. I have to flip some like resistance for Sorrel. Hold on. Okay, she flipped two successes and a joker, which means that she doesn't say it, but she does giggle profusely.
Good.
Spar would very much like to gently pick her up and put her down on the ground. But also, the two of them just had a dream about like their mom being pretty urgently trapped underground. Mm-hmm. So I think Spar takes quick stock of the situation. He can't ask if they can speak in Sorrel's room, but maybe there's a guest room nearby that's not being used, or a closet or something?
Yeah. There's both of those things.
How about the closet he napped in way back in, like, episode four?
That's fun. Yeah. All right. So are you going to talk with Vellum or just Sorrel?
The three of us. Spar, Sorrel, and Vellum.
Okay.
So good. Spar sort of scoops Sorrel a little bit. Mm-hmm. She could escape if she wanted. It's not like a tight grip. It's just a don't fall while I stand up. Mm-hmm. And then motions to Vellum and yanks open the nearest door, which is a closet, and gestures mm-hmm. them in.
And Ipswich is there. No. you go inside. There's the closet you napped in. I want to say like there are like just random shirts in there, and Sorrel is like pointing at them.
Spar grabs one and hands it to Vellum, and then grabs one and starts putting it on.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Vellum will put it on.
So?
Sorrel's just doing her part to fight the unfair gendered titty decency standards.
That's, you know, that's good and fair.
Yeah, so Sorrel says, what do you think we should do?
Well, I dreamt of something like the untethering, if it wasn't the untethering, of Bicycle's magic being replaced with the magic from the deck. Sorrel, do you know about this deck? It's a goddess and also trying to ruin our lives, and also Gray wants it.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
And also Thorn wants it. And also maybe is the one that created Mayor Governor Thorn.
Yes. Mayor Governor Thorn is probably a projection of this deck that's a Godex. That Diamond and Belladonna and Gray all want.
Sorrel said, after yesterday, I'm actually immune to being surprised by anything. So continue.
So I dreamt of It's tendrils of magic replacing bicycles.
Mm.
And also of Thaumatera being trapped underground and speaking with Mom's voice, saying, help me.
You think the deck put Mom in a box?
Somebody did.
Okay. Do you...
Did Mom put herself in the box?
That's weird.
Because that's one way to untether, I guess.
Yeah. There's a... I have two thoughts about this. Actually, hold on. Let me flip to see how many thoughts she has. I'm going to play a game called Space Kings.
For flavor, Spar has found some kind of box for Vellum to sit on.
Oh, okay. Mm.
And then is either sitting on another box or on the floor next to Vellum.
I've decided that the button-up that Vellum is wearing has little daisies on it.
Aw, that's cute. Wonderful.
Spar definitely did his up wrong. He's got mismatched. And you can see the hickeys.
Oh, dear.
Oh, good. Is this a shirt that would have been Felspar's or maybe Felix's or any of these shirts?
I don't know if you're asking me or not, but I was thinking possibly some of these were Felix's old clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out if they would fit Vellum well or if they're a little too short, like in the arm or something.
They were an elf, so they're basically human-sized.
Okay.
I don't know how tall Felix was. Anyway. Okay. Sorrel got a crit, a three of hearts, which is the name of our podcast. She says, I have two thoughts. One is that, just based on everything else I'm learning, I wonder if Solenspade could be real.
Well, the deck is under Clovenheart, so I think yes.
And so that could be the underground place. It could be Solenspade. And just to remind the viewer, because it's been like 10 episodes we brought it up, like Sol or more at this point, Solenspade is like a almost like the boogeyman of Clovenheart, like a mythical, like, ooh, bad place that your kids go if they're bad.
Okay, so it's a place, not a person.
Correct.
Uh-huh. When he said boogeyman, I got
confused. I know. I realized that, which is why I clarified.
Okay.
My other thought is that if anyone's going to know details about the untethering, it would be Jasper.
Hmm.
Since, like, they were there.
I wonder if Jasper's still in town.
They don't ever leave their house, so I would think yes, says Sorrel, who is not up to date on the mystery.
Spar makes a face.
We can always go and look, I suppose.
Jack would also know, right? Jack was there?
Jack was there.
Yep.
So the question is, do we get Jack before we go, or do we go?
Do you think we should divide our forces?
No.
No.
By that, I meant more like Vellum and Spar, you know, whether they go after Jack or look into Solenspade, they do that. And maybe send Sorrel and someone else to do the other thing.
I think Spar would want Vellum and Sorrel with him.
Okay.
Sorrel says, I have two thoughts about all this that point me in the same direction. One, if Mom has been trapped since the untethering, hopefully she's not in any more danger now than she was. Or if she is Jack in danger possibly? Like, is that more urgent?
Is Jack a goddess? Is Jack my mom?
No, I don't. I mean, first one, I don't know. Second one, I'm confident. No. The other thing, Mare Fina, in all her ominous wisdom, is very convinced that the way to saving Clovenheart is in Stoneloft. And she wants to go with you two to Stoneloft. You could at least talk to them, see what she has to say.
Hmm.
This is an episode of Jordan just lining up NPCs Spark does not want to speak to.
I mean, as you said, it's like a, if you're already going for Jack, you don't necessarily need to talk to Jasper, but.
Right. Well, and I think Spar doesn't trust what Jasper would say.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so he's dismissed that out of hand. Mm-hmm. Spar looks at Vellum.
Vellum looks at Spar.
What do you think?
I think step one, coffee or tea. Maybe both. Step two, talk to Merafina, see if she has any insight. And from there, we can decide whether we should look into Sullen Spade first or head to Stoneloft.
Okay.
You hear commotion from the living room.
Oh, dear.
What kind of commotion?
Do you think that's Tati?
Wit empathy to suss out the flavor of commotion.
Wit is 4, empathy is 4, and healthy is 5. No successes.
Oh, no.
Which is fine. This isn't an important role because I'm just going to open the door and find out. So
yeah, it's just commotion.
It's at least perhaps not magic commotion.
You don't hear anything. I mean, other than being in Clovenheart, you don't hear anything.
Spar opens the door.
All right. You hear both, like, excited chatter that sounds like you come from Brunhilde, and laughter that's actually, like a hollow laughter that's coming from Lunavella. Not hollow, but, like, a weak laughter. And then you see Jakob holding his cheek and coming into your end of the house in an apparent search of refuge because he looks really flushed.
Jakob, what's wrong? Did something happen? Spar is already like standing up and patting down for the sword he's not wearing.
Jakob gets like close and like whispers like just to Spar. He's like, I don't know what just came over me. Okay. I was in the bathroom. Okay, hold on. This is crazy. Don't judge me, but I'm afraid I'm going to get kicked out of Clovenheart.
Okay, what? You need to tell me what happened right now, Jakob.
Okay, I was in the bathroom, and there was, like, this cool... It looked like... I thought it was, like, a cool tarot card, so I picked it up to look at the art. Oh,
fuck. Jesus fucking Christ.
And then suddenly I got super horny. And...
What card did Jakob draw?
You're going to get to that later. And there was like there's like this like kind of dilfy pixie guy in the living room that I started flirting with, and then he slapped me because he didn't like my come-ons, and now I learned he was the mayor, and I'm freaking out, and I kind of wish I was dead.
Hey Jakob, good news, bad news. Good news is he's maybe not a real person. Bad news is he thinks he's a person.
Jakob's definitely saying that's the only Spark in here.
Okay.
Spar says, well, good news, bad news.
Uh-huh.
He isn't real, but he is the mayor.
Jakob says, what the fuck does that mean?
Yes. Good. You got it.
All right.
Spar sags a little and looks at Vellum and gives him a tiny nod as if, like, okay, not an emergency, like, we're okay. And Spar says this at normal volume, like, said he's not real, he is the mayor, at normal volume, back to Jakob.
Vellum says, an addendum to the plan. Step one, emergency meeting with everyone in the fucking house to not pick up any more purple playing cards.
Yeah, good.
All right. Let's get some coffee.
Spar looks down at his shirt. I might get dressed first.
Also a good idea. Vellum starts to say, do you need help? But then blushes and figures maybe he shouldn't.
I know what Vella means by that, but without the context of like us being in love with their love, that sounds like Spar is a 6-year-old who needs help. But circling all the way back around again, he is not wearing his shirt well, so you correct, know Vella might correct. Be onto something there.
Yeah. So he like falters for a minute and is like, do you need help?
Yours looks.
And he like gestures to the buttons.
Spar starts unbuttoning and rebuttoning it correctly, even though this shirt somehow is too small for him. It's not clear who it belonged to. It may have been a woman's shirt at one point.
Is it too tight across his pecs?
I think it's definitely too tight across the waist and too short in the arms.
Good. Good.
I think I can handle this one, but you are the boss, so.
Vellum clears his throat and says, I'll find a tie for you.
Thank you. Spar goes around the house so as not to have to pass by Mayor Governor Thorne.
Incredible. Well, how are you guys gonna hold a house meeting without talking to Mayor Governor Thorne?
Well, he's willing to talk to Mayor Governor Thorne once he is dressed and has had a moment. He is not willing to face Mayor Governor Thorne when he is not fully prepared.
Okay.
This may or may not include him climbing through a window at either the
Yes. Okay. No, that's perfect. You do climb out the window through the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Ishbala marveling at, well, I would say she's probably past the marveling stage, but examining something that looks like a car.
God damn it.
But it doesn't look like a car in any way you would recognize. Like, it's like a car.
Oh, a car, not a card.
A car, a vehicle, okay. A motor vehicle, an automobile that, you know, intellectually, it's got four wheels and a body. It looks like a car, but it's like way rounder and sleeker than the cars you're used to. And Essay would know that this is a 2013 Honda Odyssey.
Spar, with one leg out his window, takes a deep breath and says, one thing at a time. One thing at a time. This is not on the list yet. And step, and counts on his fingers. Five. Step five. Worry about this thing. And continues climbing out the window and jogs around the side of the house.
Meanwhile, Vellum has returned to Spar's room to sort through their luggage to find ties that would go with their shirts that they're wearing now.
Mm-hmm. But not new shirts.
No, these okay. are the shirts today, apparently. He likes the idea of Felspar picking out clothes for him to wear, even if it's maybe not something he would have picked first. It's still something that Spar picked.
Between that and You're the Boss, y'all are so kinky right out the gate, playing gossip with each other.
I don't know if you know this about either of us as people or about the characters we've been playing for 30 uh-huh. episodes, Jordan.
Uh-huh.
This was not a surprise to anyone.
No. I have met both of you, and I have sort of met Vellum and Spar.
So Spar sneaks back into his bedroom, unbuttoning his shirt.
Because of the janky buttoning, can we reset the Spar has gone blank days without ruining a shirt? Counter.
No, I'm gonna. I love you. Know I love to yes and you, but I'm gonna say this shirt is not ruined. He gets it off.
Not yet.
There's still time. There is still time in the day to ruin a shirt. I believe in your power as the GM.
Thank you.
So is this shirt one he is replacing with one that actually fits?
Yes, he is replacing with one of his own.
I think Vellum will take it once he's done taking it off and fold it and put it into the luggage. Because he knows that Spar definitely needs a shirt stipend, and a tight shirt is better than no shirt, ? At least for propriety's sake.
It's good to have spare shirts on hand when you're dealing with Marum Felspar.
Yep.
Hey, Spar. When you are in your room, you hear intense and unsettling, just grating, scratching sound, like nails on a chalkboard sound that you felt once before, twice before, thrice before, in the presence of Providence and Pandemonium's cards coming from one of the suitcases.
Oh, good.
Spark grabs Vellum around the middle and hauls him backwards away from the suitcase. Card? There's a card in there?
Okay. Which? Where?
Which piece of luggage?
We'll say there's one, like, rolling suitcase, and then there's a card in there.
Is it Vellum's or Spar's?
Vellum's.
Spar takes it and shoves it into a closet. Mm-hmm. And finds his little detective notebook and says, "Danger, do not open."
Amazing. Good. Amazing.
Does this mean that some of Vellum's equipment is now unavailable because it's in that suitcase?
Yeah.
Well, let me just tear off that sticky note of all the extra equipment and throw it away.
No, don't do that.
Okay.
Just rip it in half.
Okay.
So they're coming more frequently. Jakob picked a card up this morning. There's one in our luggage. That means there's at least two in the house.
Yes, I believe we should have that emergency meeting right away.
Yes. Yes. And Spar grabs the nearest clean shirt. Maybe his, maybe Vellum's, unclear, and starts buttoning.
Okay. Vellum puts on his tie, hands one to Felspar once he's done buttoning, and heads back out the door to the breakfast table where everyone else, well, some of the others are. We'll have to find out where Tati is at some point before she picks up a card.
You have not seen Tati yet.
Or have we?
Yeah, it's hard to say. As you re-enter the living room, / dining room area, Mayor Thorne says, "I didn't get to say it before, so good morning, Marim. Your friend Jakob sure is an exuberant fellow."
He is. It's one of his better qualities.
says he definitely lifted spirits this morning. And he gestures to a map of the region and says, "We're talking about eventualities should my name twin, Governor Thorne, decides to go on some kind of bloody conquest."
Good. To interrupt real quick, does anyone know where Tati, Joaquin, or Sochi are at the moment?
Brunhilde says, "Joaquin's at Sochi's place. Tati, I don't know, she split real early this morning."
That's not good.
Did she say where she was going?
She just said for a walk, and that was like 3 hours ago.
Okay. We've got Tati on the loose. That's great.
On the loose is fine. I'm much more worried about if she's not loose. Spar opens the front door to holler for Ishbala. Mm. Family meeting!
Ishbala comes on inside.
While he's in the front yard, Spar cups his hands around his mouth and yells for Tatiana in, like, a few different directions as loud as he can.
Ooh. Can you give me brawn performance to see how loud you can shout?
Sure. And for the purposes of scene setting, I mean, Spar managed to tie his tie and he's wearing his sword, but has not put socks or shoes on yet. So he's got sort of a rumpled 80% professionalism going on.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Brawn is 3. Perform is none. But I'm healthy, so that's 4. 2, 3, 4. A crit and an ace.
Okay, what's that bring you to?
1, 2, 3, 4. 4 successes.
Okay. On like the third yell, you get a yell back. It's just your name. Just Spar! From Tatiana.
It's times like this that make Spar really wish that he had like telepathy or something. He sticks his head in the house and yells, "I hear Tati," and then takes off toward her, shouting her name again.
Okay, she like just runs. You see her. She's like in the direction of town. Looks like she was probably like heading back already to Casa de Feldspar, which is a little bit, outside like the heart of the heart of Cloven.
I was gonna ask if you wanted Vellum to teleport himself a couple bits to try to pick her up.
Yeah, I don't think they have time to coordinate that.
Okay. Yeah, she meets you. It's like, what's the fire? Or did you just miss me?
Where have you been this morning? Is everything okay?
Yeah, I'm just taking a walk, clearing my head, having an existential, I wouldn't say crisis, but sort of like epiphany, I guess. Normal things.
What about?
I think I want to live in Clovenheart.
Okay, cool. Good. Okay, good. Family meeting. Short version. If you see a playing card, do not touch it. Walk around it. Walk away from it. Do not try to harm it, but whatever the fuck you do, don't touch it.
But I love poker.
That's fine. That is fine. If it's a sealed deck that you have procured, that is fine.
Is someone poisoning playing cards?
It's more like there's a set of cards that's evil. Spar is walking with Tati back to the house.
Okay.
Does Spar mention the purple coloring and motifs of the deck?
Yeah, he describes it to Tati, but stresses any lone playing card should not be touched.
Okay. Noted. Noted, noted. I'll be honest, if I saw a playing card on the ground, I probably would have picked it up, hoping that it was like a secret lottery ticket or something. So I'm glad that you told me.
Yeah, the last time I picked one up, it turned my sword to ash.
Oh, is that why it's different now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that's really the important. You're okay though. Nothing. You didn't get kidnapped or run into loan sharks or shark sharks or.
Nope.
Lone shark sharks.
She points at the fucking car in front of Casa de Feldspar and is like, "What the fuck is that?"
Tomorrow's problem.
Ah, okay.
Jordan, should I with empathy her? Or is this pretty Tati-ish?
You can with empathy her.
Okay. Also, fun.
Plus one for Tati.
So wit is 4, empathy is 4, 1 for healthy, 1 for Tati?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, that's my other crit. Plus a king and a jack.
Wow.
5 successes.
Okay. That's almost 100. Okay. For 5 successes, Tati appears to be like slightly more introspective than you've ever seen her in your entire life, but she doesn't seem like she's not Tati or she's lying or under duress. Okay. She seems sincere. She just seems a little bit out of sorts.
Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. While Spar is talking to Tati, should Vellum be giving everyone a brief on the cards back at the Felspars?
Makes sense to me.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Should I flip anything for that or just assume it was okay?
Yeah, I believe in Vellum's ability to convey information.
Do you want
to
do it in character?
Yeah.
He gets his coffee, sits down and says, "Good morning, everyone. I'm glad that you all are here for this meeting." He's like in work mode.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Both Felspar and myself have encountered a magical item that could have dire effects, and so I warn everyone here not to pick up or touch or approach any purple playing cards that you may find out in the wild. We have already encountered..."
I have a question for something that Vellum would know. Would Vellum ask the mayor, whose name I categorically refuse to say, to leave before this conversation, seeing as he's in some way tied to the deck?
I don't think so, because okay. it would be awkward to ask him to leave, but also because regardless of Vellum's feelings towards Mayor Governor Thorne, he is at least at this moment a person still, and if he can prevent him from being harmed, I think he would try to prevent him from being harmed as well.
Okay. My perspective is that he may be an avatar of the Godex, and so we would not want to give him information. But if Vellum wouldn't think of it that way, then that's totally fine. I just thought things that Vellum would know that maybe Elon isn't necessarily thinking of right this second.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. If you think Spar would have said something about it, then Vellum maybe would have tried to get Mayor Governor Thorne to leave the room, but otherwise I don't think he would have thought of it.
Yeah, I don't think Spar would have put it into words this morning.
Okay. So Vellum's said all that. Lunavella's going to...
I can't remember. I in the middle of a sentence or just...
No, you kind of finished. You said that you said a lot to watch out for wild playing cards, wild purple playing cards. And Lunavella kind of glances at Vellum and says... And she doesn't look amazing, but she does not... She's not nearly as haggard as she was the previous evening. And she says... Why, I mean, playing cards, what do they do? What's the problem? Is Clovenheart in danger? Well, more than we knew about.
When Spar found one, it turned his mother's sword into ash.
Lunavella nods.
And if it can do something like that, I imagine it could do other harmful things.
Jakob, blushing, says, I picked one up shortly before my little outburst this morning.
Vellum wasn't going to out him like that, but...
Yeah, he volunteered.
Vellum wasn't going to put him on blast?
No, he wasn't. No kink shame here.
He wants the people to know the broad range of effects of these cards. Lunavella says, how interesting. It can turn your sword to ash and your pride.
I think that's when Spar and Tati walk back in.
Mm-hmm.
And Spar has a moment of, oh, fuck. What did I walk back into? Right? Mm-hmm. Because it's his sword that turned to ash. And so as far as he knows, it is also his pride that is turned to ash.
Oh.
He doesn't say anything. He just has a look of like, oh, fuck.
Jakob says, oh, thank God. Spar, distract him from my public humiliation.
I found Tati.
Hi.
It also has the power to compel me to pay for things, which wasn't that difficult to do in the beginning. But yes, that's not really here or there.
Tati says, hey, Spar, can I borrow a loon?
I want to know, like, when that kind of thing happens, what exactly does Vellum feel? Like, go into the depth a little bit. Does he have to resist it?
I don't think so. Like, it is just a facet of your character now. Like, you just, doesn't even feel like an alien force. It just feels like if you see a transaction, you're a rich guy. If someone needs money, you're going to spot it.
I'm just wondering, like, are there loopholes here that Vellum can exploit? Like, it's not that Tatiana is trying to pay for something right now. She's asking for a loan.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, like, it was like if somebody was going to pay for something, Vellum would say, this one's on me, and he would pay for it. But if Tati is just saying, hey, do you have a loon you can spot me? That feels a little different.
Yeah, the wording is transaction, so that's up to you.
And I'm more than happy to like flip something and see if Vellum is motivated more one way or another. I'm just curious.
Sure. Go ahead and flip. Do you want to just do a luck flip? Or you want to do a flip like a.
I want to do a flip because I've not flipped much so far.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. What do you think this is? What about like presence arcana to like you think it's a resistance thing or do you think it's like a, I don't know. What do you think it is?
I was thinking like a presence thing.
Okay. What about presence empathy to see if like your motive, like you're emotionally motivated by the situation.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I'm also wondering if like in a situation where it is clear to Vellum that Tati is doing it for a bit rather than an actual transaction, like does would that it affect him? It?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah.
Also, the question of do you have a sell could just be maybe she wants to do a coin flip or maybe she wants to look at what the money looks like or something.
Right. But I think her intent being clear, I don't know how that would affect it. That's a good question. What'd you get?
3 for presence, 1 for empathy, 1 for healthy. We got a king of hearts and a joker.
Okay. For the Joker, I think Vellum, like instinctively you like go for your wallet, but for the one king, I'm going to leave it up to Ela whether you do anything about it or not.
So Vellum pulls out his wallet, sighs, and is starting to pull out a loon and is like, and looks at Tati and is like, points at her.
Spar frowns at Tati. Tati. He uses his disappointed in Tati voice.
She's like, okay, I don't need money.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. If you do, that's okay. But.
Sorry.
I am, despite feeling compelled to give people money, I enjoy being able to help and give gifts to my friends. So you do not need to compel me if you really need some cash.
Imagine if even one billionaire in the real world had this card.
So I have a couple of things. One, how does Tati react to being counted as one of Vellum's friends?
I think she likes it. She's touched.
Y'all.
And my second thing is, if this were a fanfic, this is where Spar would say, and that's what I love about him. But things are too high stress and he is already worrying about the to-do list. And so it is, he definitely has a warm feeling about it and is like smiling stupidly at Vellum. But he does not say anything fanficky at this moment.
And Lunavale says, well, thank you for the heads up.
I highly recommend that you tell everyone that you think it prudent to tell to be wary of these playing cards.
I would say everybody.
I would say everybody, I mean, as well. But
I think the mayor and I could arrange a meeting.
Can I wit empathy that fucking mayor? How's he looking? What's he doing? Jordan, what's he doing?
Ooh, wit empathy. Do it.
What's that fucking pixie up to?
+1 because we know his name.
Oh, thank you.
But you have to say it out loud.
I don't think that's ever been a role before.
Yeah, but it is now.
It's not too late for me to quit the podcast. I didn't record the first half of this episode. As far as I'm concerned, it never happened. A king, a not crit queen, and an ace. 3 successes. No jokers.
Alrighty, and who's this for again?
Jordan. Fucking Quiverns is who it's for.
Jordan's feeling good. Jordan's feeling delighted. As for the fictional character, Mayor Governor Thorne, he seems alarmed about the deck and like he wants to arrange that meeting and get the, he seems genuine, like he's concerned and wants to help the town.
Does this seem like news to him? Is he surprised?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Vellum hand Spar two cups.
Spar takes them.
They are, one is coffee, the way that Spar likes it, and one is a tea. I'm not sure what the tea is today, but it's a tea. Maybe rosemary.
Hi, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. My name is Jordan Quiverance. I'm your GM. My pronouns are they, them. And that sentence rhymed. You can find me on social media, decreasingly on Twitter, at Jordan Quiverance. And that's really it. I technically have a Tumblr, but I don't use it.
Do you have a fact about a character or an NPC or the game or the world?
My fact today is going to be a little bit behind the scenes. Well, I'll do an extra one on top of this. I made a list of 10 characters and rolled two D10s to see who was affected by the or who encountered the cards.
Mm-hmm. Good.
One of the options was actually Kurt and Anya. And if they encountered it, they wouldn't have picked it up because Anya had encountered it before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You two were also automatically going to get one in the luggage. And anyway, I also recorded a video of me pulling the two cards so that it's there for posterity, that I really just drew what I drew. And there was no fudging of the draw, which I will post on various social medias when this episode comes out, like our Twitter at @ThreeHeartsCast. And our Tumblr, threeheartscast.tumblr.com.
What card did Jakob draw?
Oh, yeah. So the two cards. Jakob drew Ganbate. I believe the actual description. No, sorry. Ganbate is the name of the other one. I'm sorry. Jakob got Don Juan.
Good.
Which is, whenever you meet a new person, you attempt to seduce them. And if you fail at the seduction, you are slapped by the person you attempt to seduce. The only way to end this spell is to marry one of the people that you seduce.
Oh my.
So Jakob has to marry someone he does not currently know?
Correct.
Okay.
To end the spell.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure how I feel about this card.
I don't love it. And then Ganbate is Ishbala's, which is obviously just a win. I should clarify, this is using the deck of Daddy Things, the expanded deck of many things made by the Dungeons and Daddies crew. And this next card is explicitly a reference to their podcast. This card conjures a 2013 Honda Odyssey, no matter what type of setting you're playing in. And the vehicle is sentient and has the personality of a tsundere anime character.
Oh.
And
I didn't know this.
It's an important character arc.
Yeah.
All right.
So so that's what happened.
Is it named Ganbate? Is it?
No, it's named Odyssey-san in the show.
Why is it called Ganbate? For
I didn't card? Name the card.
No, I'm just curious. Because like, Ganbate isn't necessarily like a tsundere thing to say.
What does it mean?
Ganbate is like something that you would hear if you're at some kind of match and you're cheering someone on.
Like, oh, because that's how the car is fueled, is by giving it encouragement in Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes more sense. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe the picture on the card is a Japanese cheerleader, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Yeah, you have to open the gas tank and whisper the compliment or the encouragement directly into it. Yep. If I recall correctly.
Good.
Yeah, Duns and Daddies is a good podcast. I'm going to link their merch store with a deck of Daddy Things in the description of this episode. It's a good product. The art's very nice, and yeah, I think Ishbala has gotten luckier than any person drawing from the deck of Daddy Things because she loves cars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I changed my mind. This was my fact. So I've talked long enough.
The Japanese cheerleader, is it like the long gakuran with like the fans?
I don't remember, but I'm gonna send you guys the video of me drawing and you see the cards in it.
I might send you pictures later of Japanese cheerleading because it's great.
Okay.
Anyway. It's much better than Western cheerleading IMO. Anyway.
That's not hard to believe.
Essay, why don't you go next? Because usually go second.
Okie doke. Hi, my name is Essay. How you, she, her pronouns. I play Agent Miriam Felspar. He uses he, him pronouns. My agent fact for the day is much less fun. It's that when Spar doesn't have somebody else in bed to octopus onto, he sleepwalks. Not every time, but fairly often. My remaining essay fact is that I'm Tumblr trash. You can find me online at whatever my Tumblr is, linked in the description below. And I love you. That's it. That's me.
Does your Tumblr change occasionally? Is that why you said whatever the link is?
No, it's been the same since, I think, the year of our Lord, maybe 2014, 2015. I changed it exactly once.
Oh, okay.
But I've also used the same variant on Twitter and AO3, depending on what I need for it to be unique and to form the character limit. So I can never remember whether it's citrus, sea salt, citrus, and salt, which is one of the options. Mm. And I think in exactly one place, it's citrus and sea salt because I had to get a unique handle. And so it's one of those. I don't know. Jordan knows. Okay.
Well, not offhand, but the description definitely knows.
Exactly. Like I said, Jordan knows.
So is this why Spar slept walked when the sword turned to ash? Because he wasn't octopusing?
Yeah, I think there were several things leading to the sleepwalk there. Yeah.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. My turn. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm Ela Alexi. You can find me online at Ela Alexi. I play Agent Cowlin Vellum. He and I use they and he pronouns. Today's Agent Vellum fact is that several years ago, Vellum's uncle Gray and Vellum's friend Iris set him up on a blind date with Agent Ace Harland. I believe Gray thought that Ace's kind of adventurous attitude could be good for Vellum to get him out of the house more. What do you think Iris' side of it was?
Oh, I know.
Yeah?
I know. I've got this. It's Iris was hoping that Vellum would solve Ace's magical allergy.
Aww.
Because Vellum's a smart cookie and Ace needs help. So maybe I'm going to say Iris doesn't always have the most judo grip on romance. And so this was probably her and Gray and making charts. There may have been spreadsheets involved. Flow charts, almost certainly.
Yes. And I do think that's like on Vellum's list of research things is figuring out how to, if not cure, treat Ace's allergies. This also means that it was a double blind date. Joke copyright essay 2023.
That's good. Very good. Very good.
Is that it? Do we want to shout out our Discord, which is set up and run by the most beautiful, wonderful, lovely fan of ours? Many fans are the most beautiful, wonderful, lovely fan. But this fan in particular, Lush, has set up and runs a Three of Hearts Discord. You should join. I'm sure the link is handy. It may even be in the description.
It is, and it has been since episode 26. So what's, or 27. So what's taking you so long, frankly?
People are busy, Jordan. Okay, they're busy and they're gay.
Well, now that I've insulted you, let's get back to the episode, if you're still listening. What are you guys doing?
So we just had our family meeting.
Mm-hmm. And some tea/coffee.
Yep. Breakfast.
Take a coffee card, everyone.
Yay. All right. I think at some point, Vellum does want to ask Spar about the Cherry Coke remedy that he has, but that maybe is not the most pressing thing at the moment.
I think probably it's breakfast and making sure everybody's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Spar calls a tiny little, literally, Felspar family meeting. Just in the corner. Mm-hmm. This doesn't have to be super private, but he wants everybody in speaking distance sort of off to one side for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
He sits down and he looks at his aunts and also Sorrel, but mostly at the aunts. He sort of clasps his hands in front of himself and leans in and he says, Aunt Luna, Aunt Hildy, I love you both very much. I need to know if there are any other family secrets or general secrets or other secrets you're keeping from me that could possibly get me or anyone I know killed. You know, actually, scratch that. I would just, if there are other family secrets, now is the time, please.
They look at each other and not in like a conspiring way, but in like a, they're really trying to figure it out, like through eye communication, like whether there are any they're forgetting about.
Mm-hmm.
And they turn back to you and Brunhilde says, no.
He looks at Ludovella.
No, there aren't any.
And he looks at Sorrel and says, Sorrel, you have not been guilty of the secret keeping, but I figure while we're taking stock, if there's anything.
Let me think. Hold on. Nope.
Okay. This concludes the Felspar family meeting. Thank you very much for attending. I think, Sorrel, if you're ready to go.
Oh, yeah, I think I am.
Then unless Vellum has something else, we're going to talk to Merafina.
Nope. Let's head to Merafina.
Luna Villa actually does say one thing. Wait, I did have a thought. Hesitant to go here, but... Merim the First. You know, they were very passionate about magical history and knew about all sorts of magical artifacts and obscure history. And so was Bartholomew. Now, I never heard either of them mention such a thing as this deck of cards, but there is someone in town who knows them both almost as well as I do.
Spar is thinking, don't say Jasper, don't say Jasper, don't say Jasper, don't say Jasper.
It's Josepha.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
It's a painful sore spot for her, so... But, I mean, you don't have to ask why you're asking, but she's a generally intelligent person. You could ask her about the deck if you wish.
Thank you. Thank you.
She nods. I have a concern if you're working with Merafina.
You and me both? What's yours?
She doesn't laugh. And she says, do you know the technical aspect of how Biomancy's big flaw works?
No, I don't know.
She says, it isn't just about, it isn't as simple as being able to control someone. When someone performs biomancy on you, their magic alters your body at the deepest, most basic level.
Mm-hmm.
And when the operation is done, traces of that magic are left behind.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the biomancer's magic now lives inside you. And as such, the physical urge to repel a spell being cast on you that would normally exist when someone outside you wants to cast a spell isn't triggered because your body thinks it's coming from you, essentially. So that's why even the simplest and least talented wizard could then cast a charm spell on someone, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Or how the most powerful spellcaster could cast it on a large population, large chunk of population. Which is to say, that spell is not the only spell that your body wouldn't be able to resist if Merafina wanted to cast one on you. They could very easily turn you into a frog or immolate you from inside. I don't know that they would want to, but I'm just want to make sure you know that if you're venturing with them.
Spar does a little salute and says, I haven't stopped thinking about it since I met with them the other day.
She gives you a hug, if you allow it.
Yeah, he hugs her.
And she says, it was very brave of you to come home, and it's even braver of you to do everything you've done since you got here. I haven't gone back to my home in a long time. And when you finally do return to Bossa Natura, I'd like to go with you.
Spar squeezes her a little bit and says, that sounds great.
I've never got to see your apartment in person.
It's not much to look at. I do have some vintage lantern merchandise that really, really excellent posters signed by the wrestler himself.
She laughs and says, well, you know, I don't know where I'd possibly get such a thing in this town. So I really, you know, that's going to be a sight to see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So after breakfast and everything, you guys head across town. So actually from Town Square, kind of where Bridge is and Trader Joe's, there is a like a tram that is like wind powered. A cable car, and its main purpose is to get to the woods south of town. So do you guys take that?
Unless Velum wants to drive a hover car.
There is that.
Velum probably isn't sure when the next time he will be in Clovenheart is he might enjoy driving the hover car again.
Okay.
Distant Lunavella voice. Would you like to stay for dinner? Distant Hildy voice. Would you like to stay forever?
Yes.
For sure. Yes, good. For sure. Essay is playing all my NPCs.
You left them unattended.
I know. There's too many to keep track of at once. All right. Ela, so we're doing a hover car?
Yeah, let's drive.
All right. It's a pretty steady drive. Over mostly even grounds. As you are about halfway there, you hear a vrooming behind you. And behind you is Ishbala in her 2013 Honda Odyssey, which is fitted for a crocodilian.
I was going to ask. Good.
Because this is Ishbala's car. I will say it is powered by solar to fit in this with this world style a little bit more. There are solar panels on the top. But otherwise, it looks identical to a 2013 Honda Odyssey. It is, it's blue. It's like a dark blue color. It's a minivan.
Does it speak? Because if I recall, the original spoke at least to Freddy.
Yeah, so it speaks, the description of the card, because it's for D&D, says yes, you speak with animals to talk to it. The way I've established it is it has, that it speaks specifically to Ishbala, if she talks to it.
I was going to suggest, does it speak crocodilian?
Yes, absolutely. Here, let me actually flip to see what kind of bond Ishbala has formed with this car.
Knowing that eventually it will be the unbreakable bond of two noble warriors who regard each other as the best of friends. But it is their first morning together, so I will allow it to be lower if the cards dictate.
It's three successes. That's pretty good. Ishbala has good control of this thing.
They look at each other and they recognize in each other a true warrior.
Mm-hmm.
If they both had hands, they would be doing the macho handshake.
Yeah.
With the explosions in the background.
Mm-hmm. Ishbala catches up to you. And you can see her still struggling with the controls because this is a car that is, like, 60 years too advanced to exist in this world. And she's like, she eventually rolls down the window and says, hey, Vellum, want a race?
I think Vellum's going to look to Spar, since Spar is usually horizontal in these car rides, and see, like...
Yep, Spar is fully laying down with his hand over his eyes. And very softly, perhaps so softly that Vellum cannot hear it, says, please no.
Yeah, I think in a previous scene, we at least hinted that Spar got a little bit carsick. I don't know if it was specifically said to Vellum, but I think he might have picked that up.
Yeah, every time that Spar and Vellum have ridden together, that hasn't been the most emergency, which is to say when we were rescuing Kurt. Spar has immediately lain fully flat and definitely looks nauseous. He's fine in cars. He's fine on the back of Ishbala's motorcycle, like weaving on and off the sidewalk. I don't, you know, maybe it's an air thing. He probably has never traveled by plane, so maybe it's a being in the air thing.
Vellum will shout down to Ishbala, maybe next time.
Ishbala says, put him in my car. Let's fucking go.
Spar calls as loudly as he can. He said next time.
She's like, whatever, losers. And she floors it and just blows ahead of you guys.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Spar thinking, what a dame.
Okay.
So we go to Merafina's.
Yeah, you get to the forest, you walk to Merafina's.
Is Ishbala also going to Merafina's?
No, she would have if you guys had accepted her challenge to race, but she was purely, she saw you guys in a car and wanted to race you. That was her entire motivation for coming this way.
Okay. Is Destiny with Vellum and Spar, or is she hanging out with the other Felspars?
She could be with you.
Before we left, Vellum definitely had a very serious conversation with Destiny about the playing cards as well.
Wonderful. She meowed, and you think she got it.
Sorrel is also with us.
Okay.
I don't know if maybe she drove with Ishbala.
Yeah, I like that. And yeah, I think actually you're right. So I think Ishbala would stick with you because she plans to leave town with you. So yeah, she would be with you.
I don't think Spar has strong feelings about whether Ishbala goes to Merafina, but Spar does want Sorrel to come to Merafina.
Okay. Yeah, I think Ishbala would. No, I think Ishbala would be like, yeah, she kind of freaks me out. So I'll just stay at the edge of the woods and you guys can go. I mean, unless you want muscle, like if you think you're going to need me.
Spar says, nah, I can take her.
Yeah.
This is a lie. He's doing a bit.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, the three of you, four of you, if you can't Destiny, which you should. Cats are people too.
Spar sneezes.
The three of you arrive at Merafina's hut, where she is also already a little occupied. I'll say you guys like head down the latch. Well, after knocking, probably head down the latch into her little underground home. If you'll recall, she lives in a hut that's basically just a trapdoor that leads to like her real home, which is underground.
It's kind of a reverse Baba Yaga when you think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, it means that people can't tell her house to turn around on its little chicken feet. Mm-hmm. So got some bonuses to it.
All right. So, in her home is Kurt, who appears to be getting a checkup. Kurt, to remind everyone, now has the head of a panther, which is fine and normal.
In addition to his sort of fishy scales on other parts of his body, right?
Yep. He's a catfish, you might say. Anya and Joseph are also here.
Spar sneezes.
Okay, but crack ship, Jakob and Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Catfish? Kit catfish.
Yes. Good. Signed, sealed, delivered.
Mm-hmm. All right. Merafina says, oh, hello. I was hoping you Well, you too, but I would drop in. But Sorrel, you're welcome as well, of course.
Rude.
And she turns to Kurt and says, "Your recovery seems to be coming along nicely, young man. I don't expect any additional side effects to emerge as a result of the procedure." And Kurt, "Thank you. Thank you. That's good. I mean, I've already kind of had enough. But I mean, it'd be kind of fun to just like keep getting different animal parts at this point, I guess, right? Like, why stop at two? Once you already have two different animal things going on, you might as well add wings, you know?"
Spark sneezes.
Uh-huh. Does this mean that Spar would also sneeze around Jakob?
That's a great question.
Yeah, Jakob doesn't have the requisite dander.
Yeah, he's only a little bit catty. Okay. Not nearly. He's got like cat ears, cat tail, maybe some whiskers, but that's about it.
Okay.
By the way, Spark, can you do brawn biology for migraine? Because you're in a room like where Vellum and Sorrel are the only non-altered people in this room right now.
Cool and good. And I'm sure there's other magical shit just...
Yeah, just being Merafina's hut, for sure.
All right. Brawn is 3, biology is 2, so that's 5, plus healthy makes 6.
Okay.
Damn, lots of successes. 1, 2, 3, 4 successes.
4 successes, you're fine. You are feeling fine. In this one way. Anya says...
Is Anya there?
Yeah, Anya just are also here.
Oh, I was just picturing Kurt, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Anya says, "Glad to see you two are up and walking after the day that you both had."
Spar nods like, "Yep, I'm also glad for that." Uh-huh. I'm glad Kurt's doing well.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And Kurt turns to both of you and says, "Thank you, by the way. I got a little irritated last time we talked, which I apologize for."
Understandable.
"But I'm really grateful for everything you guys have done. For me, specifically. Thank you."
"Anytime, Slugger." And Spar does like a soft like fake punch to his shoulder and then is like, "But hopefully never again."
Yeah, hopefully not.
I think Vellum will check in real quick and say, "I am sure that Anya has already mentioned, but we did encounter 2 more of the alarming playing cards this morning, so please be aware and at all costs do not approach or touch them."
Noted. Kurt says, "Speaking of, did you guys find Diamond? How are they doing?"
"They're..." Vellum trails off.
"They're doing well, unfortunately."
"They were able to do their performance, as I'm sure they are relieved, in Cindershore without too terribly much trouble. I'm not sure how much Anya may have filled you in on our terribly exciting adventure in Cindershore, but..."
Not very much. "So you still think that they're a suspect then?"
"Regardless of whether I think they're involved in what happened with you, they were rather threatening to myself and Spar, and that has certainly colored my impression of them, I will admit."
Kind of nods and he gets quiet. Merafina says, "Welcome to my humble abode, yada yada yada. How can I help you?"
Vellum looks to Spar.
are Josepha and Anya and Kurt just gonna chill for this? It's fine if they are. I'm just, if Josepha looks like she's gonna leave, then Spar will catch her and say, like, hey, can we talk later? But if they're gonna stay, that's also fine. He's not gonna ask them to leave or anything.
Yeah, I think they're chilling unless they get the vibe they need to leave.
All right. Spar says,
at least half out of nosiness for everyone involved, frankly.
Sure, yeah. Spar says, Sorrel and I have both dreamt of Thaumatera in a way that feels like, I think Spar says she, even though they would be more correct for Thaumatera, because he's thinking of his mom.
Yeah, of course. Right?
So, Sorrel and I have both dreamt of Thaumatera, and it seems like maybe, it seems like in our dreams she's trapped beneath Clovenheart. And we came to ask if you know anything about whether Sullenspade is real or anything about Thaumatera and possibly being trapped, or or about Providence and Pandemonium.
Josepha reacts to Providence and Pandemonium being mentioned. She like looks at you, and she kind of wasn't looking at you directly before. And Merafina says, Sullenspade is definitely real. That I can say with certainty.
Is it a place we can go to?
With sufficient climbing gear, or perhaps a parachute. It's at the bottom of the crevice separating the town. I don't know a safe way to get there, personally. Doesn't mean one does not exist.
It's physically accessible is what I mean. It's not like on a different plane or...
No. It's just a town.
Do people live there?
I don't know if they live there anymore.
Have you been there before?
In a way.
In what way?
That's private. Now, here's what I will say. I do believe that the reason I am drawn to Stoneloft is tied directly to Sullenspade. I believe whatever threatens Clovenheart is there.
When you say there, you mean?
Sullenspade, sorry.
And so we have to go to Stoneloft?
Yes. I know it seems circuitous, but I believe there is someone in Stoneloft who is from Sullenspade.
Would Spar know anything about, at least what the rumors were about, like, how recently folks lived there? As in, was this 100 years ago? Was this 1,000 years ago?
Closer to 1,000.
Okay, and then would he know anything about rumors like, were giants supposed to live there? Or like, what kind of people?
What a good question that you can find out with intelligence streetwise.
Okay, intelligence is one, because Vellum is the brains of this operation. Streetwise is none.
Okay, plus one for Clovenheart lore and healthy.
So that is one. Clovenheart makes two. Healthy makes three. I'll probably use the coffee card. But let's see. Three. Coffee card. And fuck it. Let's spend a couple drive. One drive. Okay, three successes. I spent two drive.
Wow. Okay. All manner of people. But giants, yes. And because I'm pretty sure I know where SA is going with this, something clicks in your head, which is that people who aren't from traditional family units or otherwise want to not have their family's last name or for whatever reason, it is a common practice to take a surname that relates to the place you were born. So someone from Clovenheart might be have the last name Clove. And someone from Sullenspade might have the last name Spade.
Cool, cool, cool. Was Jack given his name by the giant that they traveled with?
You don't know. Oh, no, you would definitely know. You're Jack's friend. Yeah, yes. Yes, because there, I mean, his name was Jack Spade before he was a sentient dog. Okay. And you also know that Jack, like, has a lot of Sanguinea's memories. And so, because Sanguinea, like, basically gave their soul to Jack as they were dying. As Z was dying, sorry. And therefore, like, if Sanguinea is from Solon Spade, then Jack would have knowledge of Solon Spade.
Okay. Good, good.
Wow. Yeah. That's another long gestating piece of the big puzzle. It's nice to get out there.
Did Josepha have something to say?
Yeah. Josepha will say, I know a thing or two about this Providence and Pandemonium.
I'm all ears.
I will say is that we have a long way. Oh, by the way, I'm going with you to Stoneloft. I will say that we have a long road ahead of us and plenty of time to talk on Z Road. Stoneloft is like 3 or 4 days travel. It's pretty far. Mm. And, well, I don't know. That was before you guys had a fucking modern car.
Will we be traveling by car, train? How are we getting there?
I have to assume you guys are taking Ishbala's new fucking ride.
How many people can she fit? Because our group is pretty big.
It's a minivan. Hold on. So we have Spar, Vellum, Josepha,
Ishbala,
Merafina. That's 5. And then Sorrel doesn't take up a ton of space. So I think that's pretty doable.
Yeah, it fits at a minimum of 7, right? Mm-hmm. 3 across the back, another 3, and then 2 in the front. So, actually, minimum of 8.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a minivan. I thought it was like a little town car.
Oh, sorry. It's a minivan, so we're good. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I forgot not everyone has listened to Dungeons & Daddies Season 1 and is therefore intimately familiar with the Honda Odyssey.
The entire party of Dungeons and Daddies and various hangers-on all fit in the Odyssey.
Okay. And also Destiny. Don't forget Destiny. She's coming,
yes, of
too.
Course. She'll be fine. Yes.
Spar sneezes.
One of the funniest bits in that show is the player's intimate knowledge of the Honda Odyssey, which they use against the GM at various times throughout it. It's very good.
I think Vellum will look to Josepha and be like, do you have anything for cat allergies?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Sneeze.
If I can if I can go to Trader Joe's real quick, I can get something.
That would be great.
She says, let's get on the road. I have some things to tell you. Long story short, I'm going to give us all a very nice place to stay in Stoneloft.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome. Also, we need to meet my partner on Z-Way there because I talked to them this morning. I have a secret radio outside the ward. It's not that secret. And I talked to them, and they helped steal everything that you had confiscated from the constabulary. So they're going to be in this honesty way and reimburse you.
Spar's face says, that might as well happen. Thank you, is what his mouth says.
Oh, I want to say one thing before, like, as we're back up in the forest and we're walking towards the edge of the forest where each ball is waiting, Anya's going to pull Spar aside real quick and say, hey, just want to say good luck, be safe, and I feel like we need to talk, like, about us a little bit, but now is probably not the right time. So you can't die out there or I'll be really upset.
You'll have to get in line. I think between my aunts and Agent Vellum, probably various suits members if I don't rescue the head of our organization. You'll be in good company though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My funeral will be so fun. It'll be the affair of the season.
It'll be more of a roast, I think.
Well, that's every day.
I say that lovingly. I do want to say, just to give you, I don't want to, you know, it's a big conversation that I don't want to catch you off guard. But I, for some reason, have chosen to see you as a bad person over the years. And that idea has not held up to meeting you once again. And that means I must have a substantial misunderstanding of what happened all those years ago. And I would love to hear your side of the story.
I don't think it means you were wrong. But yeah, we'll talk when I get back.
She nods and says, yeah, don't die out there. Be safe. Don't die. Be successful. Save your boss.
Mm-hmm. I always do.
Make friends.
I will. He, if he gets the vibe, it would be welcome. He'll hug her.
Yeah. She hugs back.
Yeah. He hugs her. Keep the home fires burning.
Yeah, we'll do. Well, I'll keep the water mill churning, if that's okay.
I'll take it.
And outside the forest, Ishbala is waiting in the Honda Odyssey. This is not a sponsored episode. I'm just going to start calling it a minivan from now on.
Does the Honda Odyssey sound magical to Spar?
Oh no, 100%.
I don't think that means anything, right? Like, I think that's fine. I'm just curious as to whether this is a magical car or a mundane car.
Oh, it is. I just mean, like, it's probably annoying for Spar. That's all I was going
to
say.
He's used to that. That'll be fine.
Yeah. And Ishbala says, oh, when Spar emerges, because I know Spar comes out a little bit later, Ishbala's in the middle of saying to Vellum, like, I don't know what everyone, I mean, I understand you're concerned about that deck of cards, but I drew from it and got this thing, which is cool as heck. So, like, maybe they're not all bad. I'm just saying keep an open mind. And if you think about it, in the long term, I'm not saying, like, change mission or anything. Don't get me wrong. But if you think about it, in the long term, Spar got a better sword. You know, maybe Jakob will find, you know, someone as horny as he is. And this could be, you know, like, maybe a delayed wish-granting situation. And mine was just really instant for some reason.
It also appears to have created Mayor Governor Thorne and changed everyone in Clovenheart into remembering him as if he's been here for the last 50 years.
Josepha says, wait, what the fuck?
So, while that may not be extremely harmful on a personal level, it is certainly alarming to me, and I'm a bit terrified of what else it could do with that amount of power. Also, my uncle wants to bring my parents back to death from it, and I don't feel great about that either.
Ishbala says, understood, sir. And Josepha goes, wait, what the fuck?
Spar crosses to the opposite side of the minivan from where Ishbala is, so she can't see him. Takes his sword out and very gently pokes the minivan.
It's solid.
He's just concerned about whether it's possibly evil.
I mean, the sword makes contact with it. Nothing special. You don't get any special sense out of it.
It doesn't attack?
No.
It doesn't scream?
No.
It's not one of your relatives, so that's good.
Jordan, you're laughing, but...
No, because it would not be
the first time I've been surprised to find that something is a relative in this podcast.
All my exes are here, and my minivan is my cousin.
Uh-huh. Spar leads close to the minivan, and he says, I'm watching you. And then we'll rejoin the group.
Yeah. And I think with that, everyone gets in the car. Sorrel is in the middle of telling Josepha a lot of information, and we drive off into the not sunset, because it's still like late afternoon, and we'll continue on the road to Stoneloft next time on Three of Hearts. And I keep forgetting to steal this that I like, this check-in system I stole from The Real Housewives of D&D, which is a really funny and good D&D podcast. Vellum, what are you thinking and feeling as we leave Clovenheart once more?
I think having just talked to Ishbala about the deck, and, you know, like they said, there's been some okay and potentially good things from the deck, but he's genuinely worried about what else it could do, and he's worried about Jack, and also probably thinking about Spar as well in the back of his brain. That's just always going to be a thing, but... So he's like, worried about the deck, worried about Jack, horny about Spar.
That's it. That's Vellum. That's the boy.
That's it. That's Vellum.
Vellum, nope. Try that again. Spar, Spar sorts himself into his seat next to Vellum and takes Vellum's hand. And Spar can't do very much while they're... Let me rephrase. They are doing, right? Like, Spar's brain churns when he's still, but they are in motion. They are acting. And so he is probably, for the first time since the mission was assigned, he is at peace.
Vellum will squeeze his hand back.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monik Tola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, and Jordan Quiverns as our host. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can purchase the game at spacekings.space. Our intro music is Dogtective. Our mitro theme is At Last, a Piano, and our outro is Ghost Plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast, all spelled out, that is T-H-R-E-E, heartscast. Support us for any price you can afford, and receive access to all perks, including gag reels, and to the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and written stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks.